This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you from FEMA Region 5 in the new media production studio designed by Audimute.com in Coldwater, Michigan. The lead stories are Facebook threatens to leave Europe. A judge is blocked the ban on WeChat. Amazon senior staff took bribes. And Oracle says ByteDance will have no ownership stake in TikTok. I want to welcome you to episode 1476 of the Geek News Central podcast for Monday, September 21st. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. You can support this show today at geeknewscentral.com/insider. Hey, I want to give a warm welcome to all our new listeners. Thanks for being here. Thanks for checking the show out. If this is your first time listening to this podcast, we want to make sure that you get over to geeknewscentral.com. On the right-hand column of the website, there will be a place to sign up, or actually not sign up, but subscribe to the show, whether it be Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, lots of ways to consume the show. We've also got a newsletter option. You can sign up for the newsletter. Newsletter contains everything that I'm going to talk about during this show. And of course, you can always join our chat room too. We have a lively discussion. Our Slack chat room seems to be the hottest right now. All you got to send me an email and I'll give that to you in a second. Or you go on our Mastodon server at geeknews.chat or on our Discord server. Any place really, that's where we want you to connect up. And again, if you want to be part of our Slack family, all you got to do is send me an email to geeknews@gmail.com or follow me on Twitter at Geek News. Let me know you want to be added to our Slack channel, and I'll do that as well. Of course, you can follow me on Facebook. Just search for the name Todd Cochran and it'd be the best way to do. Hey, partner shows are all linked at geeknewscentral.com. That includes the new media show, GNC Week in Review, Podcast Legends, The Gadget Professor. So check all those out at geeknewscentral.com. And of course, this show is sponsored by our good friends at GoDaddy. And GoDaddy's been a longtime sponsor here of the show. And you can save a lot of money by going over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy and partaking in my promo codes. This is an awesome, awesome way to really support the show and also get yourself a COVID-proof new online business. Get something going here before the winter months hit and maybe we have another spike. So all you got to do is go over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. On that page, you are going to find some great promo codes, whether it be 30% off a new product purchase at GoDaddy. That's one that is basically a catch-all and used on almost any product over there. A $499.com or new or transferred domains for new customers only. A $1 a month economy hosting for the first year, which again includes a free domain name. So a great deal there. A dollar a month managed WordPress hosting for the first year with a free domain. And a free trial of GoDaddy website builder, your choice of personal business or business plus plans, 1 month free trial. All those promo codes, you can click on the promo code to lock it in. And on the hosting plans, you know, definitely when you get to the checkout counter, make sure that you are looking at the year multiplier, because what they'll typically do is if you sign up for that dollar a month managed economy hosting or managed WordPress site, what they will do is they'll entice you with a 2-year purchase and it'll show up like $90-some or something like that. To get the $12 deal, all you got to do is change the year multiplier to 1. And then just, you know, look the plan over that you picked. Make sure you know what that year 2 cost is going to be. But really get started there for $2. That's the $12. $2. I wish $2. You get started for $12 there. And building a website, blog, e-commerce site, you name it, all's possible. And that economy hosting is probably the best deal for starting a new business. And again, all these promo codes are alive and well, and you can use over at GoDaddy. And if you're not in the space for something, you can share it with a friend, family member, someone that you know. Just like making an in-kind donation when you recommend the promo codes of the show, if you're not going to use them yourself, it's greatly appreciated when you do. And of course, we want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here at Geek News Central. Hey, Andrew, thanks for joining. I know it's midnight in the UK where you're at, and you're just headed to bed. Thanks for just tuning in real quick here. If you're watching live, either on YouTube or on Facebook or on the other channels, whether it be Twitch, Twitter, doesn't matter, we want you to say hello. Say hello, 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 and let me know you're here. And if I see you, I'll give you a shout out here during the show. So what happened last Thursday? I'm just going to be frank. Thursday afternoon, I'd kind of hit the wall and knew that I just needed a break. And had some other stuff going on the weekend, too, that was conflicting with the new media show. So I basically told the Kirk, I'm going to cancel the show on Thursday. Kind of did it not necessarily last minute, but about 3 o'clock on Thursday, I just said I need a night off, and told Rob from the new media show, hey, stuff's going on Saturday, let's cancel the Saturday show. And really, it allowed me to have not an extended weekend per se, but basically kind of a break. And I'm just at the point now where it's we've been going so hard so long, and really there would used to be some things that would break up what I was doing. There would be travel to a convention, there would be a trade show, there would be something going on that gave me a little relief. And you know, granted, if I was at a trade show for a week, coming back, I'd have a whole bunch of stuff to catch up and work on. But during a trade show, I'd be answering email and kind of keeping up that way. But I wasn't in meetings all day. I was meeting customers, having these discussions. And it was really kind of almost as if I got a little mini vacation, even though it really wasn't. We were working as many hours as we normally do. But since February, late February, when we sent the Blueberry Podcasting team home to work from home and work remotely, in the podcasting space, for a better word, has exploded. So we've been busy, and I've kind of mentioned it here, and someone sent me an email, said, hey, quit your whining. And I'm trying not to whine because I'm very thankful that we're busy, that business is growing, but we've just been slammed. So what I'm trying to do is figure out a time here, maybe in the next month, where I'll take 6 or 7 days off again. I had a little bit of a break in August or something like that. But really kind of at this point, I'm going to need a little more recharge time. And it's just one of those things. It's just kind of, you know, I've kind of hit the wall here a little bit. And I know there's people out of work and I feel bad for them in their own instance. And they're probably chomping at the bit to get back to work, where I'm in the opposite side of the token, where we've been, well, at times crushed, at other times just consistently steady. And so, yeah, I hope you understand. It's just the way it is. And you know, we're coming up on 16 years of doing this show, or I am. And I've tried to be as consistent as possible in being with you twice a week. So I know that you'll understand. But really, the 3 days off that I took really was... You know, think about it. I got 3 days off. Woohoo! You know, was great. It was just, and I know we'd had one over the Labor Day weekend, you know, sometime earlier this month, but just, you know, I need to also take care of Todd. And so Todd doesn't stroke out or have a heart attack or any of that other stuff that goes on. And I did take some time to do some walking and get a little exercise, and that's always good too. And it's getting chilly here, so we're in the you know, everyone's kind of ramping up for deer hunting season and all kinds of other stuff going on. But yeah, it was nice to take a walk through the woods and kind of survey the place I'm thinking about building this camp, and just some other stuff. So I hope that you won't punish me too hard for taking a break, and I'm just going to do it when I need it. I just have to. And just a lot of stuff stacked up here. So good for my mental health, good for my physical health as well. And when you have stress that's building up, that stress can lead to very bad things. So I'm just, trying not to get myself in a situation here where, you know, I'm no longer available. And so I think you'll understand that. But okay, so what do we have for content tonight? We have a lot of stuff going on. But the first things first is we've got a new conspiracy for you. And this one would be a little bit of a controversy. But Mr. Fixer says, where better to find conspiracies than the comment section of YouTube videos? This one relates to all the fires in the western U.S. states. You're going to get me in trouble, Mr. Dare. So somebody called UFO Boatman left a comment, and I don't know what this was involved in, but let me read this. What I will say, and again, this is the conspiracy theory from a comment off YouTube from UFO Boatman. What I will say, and I can prove, is that they've been dumping some things that appear to be aluminum, and now I believe to be aluminum oxide. They've been dumping miles-long lines of this stuff for 2.5 years. It typically moves to the east, so they dump it over to San Joaquin Valley, and it is settled in the hills and the mountains east of here. When you mix that with iron oxide, which naturally occurs in the ground, you get thermite. This is the same substance used in making road flare. So apparently, UFO Boatman believes that they've been dumping, I guess, from an airplane or from a UFO. I don't know. The UFO Boatman is the name of the commenter. It's some sort of aerial device has been dumping some things that appear to be aluminum, and he believes to be aluminum oxide. Well, that's an interesting theory. We know that one of the fires was started by a gender announcement that made it all over the social media web. But there was also suggested that there had been some fires that had been purposely set. Again, I know it's been pretty bad out in California. So, but anyway, interesting conspiracy theory there, Mr. Fixer. Good one. Let's, what say you, the audience? All right. So now let's go ahead and get into the regular stack of stuff. And the first thing up I haven't seen this anywhere else. What was that? It's not thunder, but it sounds like a rumble. Oh, I know what it is. It's kind of funny. You know, this office is right next to a laundromat, my sister's laundromat. And when someone is running they've got one of these giant machines, you can put like 45 pounds of laundry in it. And when that is loaded and it isn't perfectly balanced, you know, you think about your washing machine at home, when it gets out of balance, well, this is 45 pounds of laundry that are out of balance, and you can hear it through the walls. So anyway, I was hearing the thump from next door. Facebook says it will stop operating in Europe if regulators don't back down. Sounds like a threat. Facebook has threatened to pack up its toys and go home if European regulators don't back down and let the social network get its own way. In a court filing in Dublin, Facebook said that a decision by Ireland's Data Protection Commission would force the company to pull up stakes and leave 410 million people who use Facebook and the photo sharing service Instagram in the lurch. The decision Facebook is referring to is a preliminary order handed down last month to stop the transfer of data about European customers to servers in the United States over concerns about U.S. government surveillance of that data. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? The United States doesn't want TikTok's data going to China. Europe doesn't want European users' data going to the United States. Oh, so interesting, right? Well, is this supposed to be a threat? Well, according to the folks at OS News, says it sounds more like a gift to me. Please, Zuck, go home. I think we here in Europe will do just fine without your criminal enterprise. So the folks over at OSNews.com are not of the fans of Facebook or Instagram. So we have a number of European listeners that listen to this show. What would you do? What would you do if there was a decision put down that basically Facebook shut down in Europe? How would you react to that? Would you not take kindly to it? What would you do instead with all the time that you would regain from your life back from not being on Facebook? I think a lot of people would freak out. There's a lot of people freaking out right now in the world with all this stuff going on, especially in the political sphere here in the United States. People are having meltdowns. And that was another part of the reason why I took a break. I didn't go on any. I heard about the justice dying over on Saturday, and I was like, oh man, I am not going on any social media, because I knew it was just going to be like this instant, you know, nuclear flare that would go off. And so it was good for me. I didn't get back on Facebook until late this afternoon. And folks didn't disappoint as I was going down through the thread. But, you know, what would you do without Facebook? Would it make the world a better place if we didn't have Facebook? I'm beginning to wonder myself, because I do a lot better when when I'm not on social media all the time. I know my blood pressure is much better. I just wonder how much anxiety and how many people are on blood pressure pills because of things that they read on social media and get all wrapped up and worked up. And it's just a never ending. The world is burning to the ground. You know, I used to laugh when I was growing up. My grandfather, you know, his comments were the country's going to hell in a handbasket. And just, you know, he was totally, you know, and I always kind of, at the time, I had no perspective, right? I'm young, 13 in my early 20s. And, you know, he's lamenting on and on about the state of the country and, you know, all these idiots. And, you know, he was pretty frank about things, and more frank than most people can be today. And, you know, I'd humor him. Okay, Grandpa, you know. But now, as I'm getting older, I'm just thinking, what is going on? So I think we all have that transition period. And I'm not so cynical at this point to think things are going to go up in flames at all. But, I can kind of see from, you know, he was born in 1907. Or 1907, 1908, something, you know, like that. He was a kid during World War I, and then World War II, he actually served. And he was older, for World War II. And so, you know, all those years and his perspective. And then I start looking at my birth date, and I'm like, man, I'm feeling a little old. But it is kind of, you know, what goes around comes around. But it's very, very interesting perspectives as you gain more time on this planet. So a judge has blocked the U.S. ban on WeChat app. First Amendment concerns are keeping the Chinese messaging app alive. So TikTok isn't alone in avoiding a U.S. ban, at least for now. Reuters reports that Judge Laurel Beeler, don't know what judge or district court this came down from, has issued a preliminary injunction blocking a Commerce Department order that would remove WeChat from the U.S. app stores by the end of September 20th. Users who sued the president over the ban have raised serious questions about the First Amendment free speech issues, Judge Beeler said, and that tipped the balance of hardship in their favor. The injunction similarly thwarted an order that would have forbidden other U.S. transactions with WeChat. I've never used WeChat to do financial transactions, but I know in Asia and China specifically, WeChat is used heavily to pay for things. They've almost gone to a cashless society and people just use their phone and their WeChat to pay for stuff. Beeler added the government's general national security concerns about China were considerable, but the evidence of specific issues with WeChat was modest. Like with TikTok, politicians have been worried that China might push Tencent-owned WeChat to spy on Americans. And this move stymies the administration's attempt to crack down on China-owned internet services. It's also a relief to both users and some U.S. companies. And again, as I said earlier, that WeChat is a mainstay app in China, and it would made harder for Chinese Americans to message overseas relatives. They've got Line and other types of, you know, chat apps, WeChat and WhatsApp and all that. Or yeah, WeChat was the one that was being banned. But anyway, so for right now, WeChat has a reprieve. That kind of leads into maybe the discussion about TikTok. Oracle said ByteDance will have no ownership stake in the new TikTok. And that's a little bit of a change from the last time we were on the show. But in a statement to reporters, Oracle announced that TikTok venture will be entirely divested from ByteDance, a significant break for previous reports of the agreed deal between the two companies. Upon creation of TikTok Global, Oracle and Walmart will make their investment and the TikTok Global shares will be distributed to their owners. Americans will be the majority and ByteDance will have no ownership in TikTok Global, the company said in a statement to reporters. So this differs. Now, the president this morning told reporters that China would be required to cede control of the app in order for the deal to go through, and apparently has initially, signed off. And the president is expected to formally withdraw the executive orders blocking the app later this week. Now, China, on the other hand, has been wary of any arranged deal. And they institute new export controls on algorithms like the one that powers TikTok's For You page. And we'll see here. But the current proposal, which we'll see Oracle and Walmart each take a minority stake in the new U.S.-based TikTok corporation, was presented as a compromise. So they're taking a minor ownership. So who owns the rest? I think that's a little bit unclear at this point, but TikTok has gotten a bit of a reprieve from when they were not supposed to be able to get any updates starting, I think, Sunday. So this next article, my goodness, should it come as a surprise? Amazon staffers took bribes, manipulated marketplace, leaked data, including search algorithms, the Department of Justice claims. Banned merchants were restored, rival stores binned, cash sent around town in an Uber as being alleged. U.S. prosecutors claim six people bribed corrupt Amazon insiders to rig the web giant's marketplace in their favor and leaked terabytes of data, including some search algorithms. Amazon's Digital Bazaar is open to third parties who can push their products on the e-commerce store and even have Amazon do their deliveries. In an indictment filed late this week, the DOJ asserted that six defendants paid over $100,000 to complicit Amazon employees and contractors. The DOJ claims that at least 10 Amazonians took the crooked money and baselessly and fraudulently confirmed tens of millions of dollars of competitive benefits on hundreds of third-party seller accounts. So this does not come as a surprise to me at all. So a defendant out of Brooklyn, New York, two or three out of New York, and a couple of people out of California have all been indicted that they conspired to use a communication facility to commit commercial bribery, conspired to access protected computer without authorization, and conspired to commit wire fraud. So the DOJ alleges that after the fraudulent reinstatements, the products and merchants earned in excess of $100 million in sales, all for a measly $100,000 in bribes. They shared terabytes of confidential information. Stolen files include, among other things, the formula for the algorithm that powers Amazon Marketplace search engine, Amazon product review rankings, and plenty more inside info on Amazon operations. This is crazy. Amazon said, "We are especially disappointed by the actions of this limited group of now former employees and appreciate the collaboration and support from law enforcement to bring them and the bad actors they were entwined with to justice." The scheme has operated since 2017. The DOJ alleges involved doctored invoices, a payment of $8,000 sent across town in Uber, and plenty of tasty WhatsApp messages and emails among that. What does that mean? Tasty WhatsApp messages. Are they use sex and porn via WhatsApp? Is that the question? So here's the thing. I know a lot of people that have Amazon stores and they barely, you know, they make out a living. It's highly competitive. And then you have these types of actions taking place. I guess it should be expected. It's the thing that's happened since beginning of time. Bribes to basically, you know, get your way into a lead position and learn insider information. I'm surprised it was only $100,000. Or is that all the DOJ can muster up? If you're working for a company and you sell out for such little money, it's just, you think about that for a second. And good luck getting another job, right? Now, iOS users can set Gmail as their default email app. You can delete Apple's email app from your iPhone if you want to. You know, there are times I like the Apple email. I like it to do a quick overview of anything that's come in, but its search function sucks. So I always use Gmail if I have to search for an email. So personally, I'm going to keep both. But when Apple unveiled iOS 14, it quietly noted this version of the operating system finally lets users set their own default apps for email and web browsing. Google already updated Chrome on iOS. That those who've installed the new OS since it was released last week, and my phone's actually doing the update right now, can set the Google browser as default. However, as Mac Rumors and 9to5 Google note, some users have been plagued by a bug that resets it back to Safari whenever the device restarts. So there was a release of the Gmail app as well. So those of you that have wanted to use Gmail as your default email app on iOS, now you can do so. You know, those of you that saw The Mandalorian obviously fell in love with the Baby Yoda, right? Well, Lego has a new set out. The Mandalorian Cute Star Wars Child is available as a Lego. I don't want to put it together. Someone put it together for me and I'll buy one. Make it glued. I'm sure there's a business in that. But anyway, I'm just too lazy. But you can buy that now? What's it going to cost? Does it say? It doesn't say. Season 2 of The Mandalorian is premiering on October 30th, by the way. For those of you who are the fan of that show, I did like the series, so I'm looking forward to season 2. Need something new to watch, because all I've been doing is hanging out on YouTube. Unannounced Samsung Galaxy S20 Fan Edition gets detailed on a video. It features a 4,500 milliamp battery, 30 times space zoom, and 120 hertz display. All for the whopping price between $699 and $750. I need to update the Android device that I have that I use for testing. It's getting a little long in the tooth. Battery's not staying charged. And I'm going to be looking around here soon for something. Got to save a few more pennies to be able to purchase one. But it's time for me to make because I'm using a Galaxy S8 and two or three years old at this point. And just time for an update. There's a new product called Pet Cube. Pet Cube Cam is a small, smart way to keep tabs on your fur babies, according to Engadget. And why don't use a regular camera? And this, you know, why do you need a small little camera like this to track your fur babies? Anyway, what this is, the Pet Cube Cam is the company's latest critter surveillance gadget. It comes with a remote vet visit feature that can't be timed sooner. The cam is the simplest device from Pet Cube so far. While the Bites and Play line have specific standout features, the ability to throw treats or remote tease your cat with a laser. Oh, is that in there? I doesn't think so. The Cube has the essentials. As a result, it has the most affordable $40. Most affordable, it's $40, the smallest. So if you've been curious about just, oh my gosh. There's a lot of cameras out there for $40. Some that are cheaper than that. So I guess you can check it out. You can get some extra storage for $4 a month. I don't have my phone in front of me, but there's a lot of great cameras out there now that are inexpensive. They'll probably do just as good a tracking as this Pet Cube Cam, but it's your option. All right. The OnePlus 8T is going to be unveiled on October 14th. So that's forthcoming. This is an article right on my own site at Geek News Central. This isn't entirely expected, as OnePlus has long operated a biannual release strategy. But with COVID-19 and a separate release of the Nord model, anything was possible. So fortunately, there's some stability here. We're going to get a new OnePlus. And so we'll look forward to that announcement on October 14th. Samsung has canceled the 2020 Developers Conference as pandemic continues raging. The company, this week will hold its third virtual Unpacked event of the past 2 months, has opted not to have a digital event. And, you know, here's the thing about digital events. I've been presenting at a lot of digital events. What's the best way for me to really kind of describe it? I've got one more this year on October 20th. I think that's my last one. And really what it boils down to here is I think that people's attention span for virtual events are very short. I've been spending so much time in online meetings that to do another time to watch a virtual event is quite painful for me because it's just like being in another conference call. So I don't know how effective these virtual events are going to continue to be. The Podcast Movement Virtual 20, I'm sure, is being well organized. The session that I'm putting forth is only 25 minutes instead of my normal hour. I thought I was going to have to expand a presentation I have given, and I'm not. I've got a pretty good timeline now with the presentation that I have. So I understand why companies like Samsung are not doing digital events. It's just different in being able to attend events and be there in person and talk with people. And I think what's going to end up happening is like for the virtual event that we're going to be involved in with Podcast Movement, we'll have a virtual booth. The ability to arrange and schedule meetings during that event time is going to be good. And we're going to have some good interactivity with potential customers, but it's not like having to stay in the booth for 10 hours, although I'm going to block time to be able to participate as a vendor. But I'm still, we're at a point now where I think a lot of people are just burned. And maybe you haven't had to live this, you live in Zoom hell over the past 4 or 5 months, but yeah, it just feels like I'm in there a lot. And matter of fact, I've resorted to not turning on the camera sometimes, just because I'm, you know, I'm doing this show, do all the other things, and then, you know, and I'm starting to find too that people that are doing a lot of these meetings now with me, it's just like doing a phone call anymore. We're turning off the cameras and just using the audio version of it. That way, I think it's better. We're all kind of burned out. So I guess we'll see what happens with the upcoming virtual events. But I think in large part, people are like, they got too many distractions. Kids are in the house. You know, it's just a little insane for people right now. And to be able to block time off to just listen to someone talk about something, it's, you know, you have this much amount of time to listen to a specific thing that you're interested in and ignore everything else. Whereas if you're at an actual conference, you walk into a different room or you can go stand in the hallway and do business that way. All right, NASA spacecraft discovers chunks of asteroid Vesta on asteroid Bennu. The OSIRIS-REx mission team spotted some Vesta crumbs on Bennu's face. And that's kind of interesting. Asteroid Bennu, the subject of NASA's OSIRIS-REx mission, appears to be hosting some unusual souvenirs. In a case of cosmic CSI, researchers have traced the origin of some bright boulders to a different asteroid named Vesta. And OSIRIS-REx is currently in residence at Bennu, preparing for a daring sample collection operation in October. The spacecraft has already sent back a wealth of images and data from the rubble pile. And from the asteroid, it was formed from fragments during some collision. But the boulders in question range from 5 to 14 feet and look noticeably different than the darker surrounding material. So they think it came from this particular asteroid. So that's kind of cool, right? From one from the other. All right, link will be up in the show notes. Thumb drives. We don't really think about thumb drives right now. I've probably got a dozen of them laying around here. And a good flash drive lasts for years. And I still have USB-A thumb drives around here. And I've got some USB-Cs now. I got a couple of those. But there's a whole bunch of them available. And they start at, you know, $9, $15. And for those of you who have a USB-C computer with a continuing decrease in USB ports, it might be time to pick up some USB-C thumb drives. So the folks from Android Central have a list of them ranging from $9 to, yeah, like cheap, $9-$10 with enough storage to do what thumb drives do. The BBC is reporting Twitter has investigated racial bias in image previews. And Twitter said, we've tested for bias before shipping the model and didn't find evidence of racial gender biasing in our testing, but it's clear we've got more analysis to do. We'll continue to share what we learn, what actions we take, and we'll open source it so others can review and replicate. So users were noticing when two photos, one of a black face and the other of a white one, were in the same post, Twitter often showed only the white face on mobile. Twitter said it tested for racial and gender bias during the algorithm's development. Why should that even, here's what I don't understand. You put two pictures up. Why are they doing analysis on the pictures? When you post a picture on Twitter, why, it shouldn't be analyzed. It's my tweet. It's interesting that they're analyzing images to begin with. In this case, one showed Mitch McConnell and the other showed President Barack Obama's photo. And when it showed up on mobile, only Mitch's face came up. Why would that be the case? I don't understand why there would be biasing in display of a picture unless they're doing analysis on pictures and making decisions about them. It just seems very, very weird to me, because if I put two photos up, I put two photos up. And if it's in the mobile preview, it should show the two photos. Shouldn't just show one. So it is a little weird to me that they had bias to begin with, or built a logarithm to try to prevent bias, it tells you that there's more going on behind the scenes than what we would ever imagined on some of these social media sites. Of course, I don't think anything should surprise us anymore. That said, switching to YouTube, YouTube is bringing back more human moderators after AI system is doing over censorship. Increased use of automated filters led to double incorrect takedowns. So YouTube says it's bringing back human moderators who are put offline during the pandemic and found out this isn't working. So around 11 million videos were removed from YouTube between April and June, or about double the usual rate. Around 320,000 of these takedowns were appealed, and half of the appealed videos were reinstated. Again, this is roughly double the usual figure, sign that the AI systems were overzealous. The admission of failure here is very notable. All major online social platforms, from Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube, have been increasingly under pressure to deal with the spread of hateful and misleading content on their sites. And all of a sudden, the logarithm and automated filters can help deal with immense scale of their platform. So I saw today, this is not related to moderation on YouTube of videos, but I was on Facebook and I saw a gentleman make a comment. And it was just, he was just stating his opinion, wasn't linking to anything. And what he said was, in fact, factual. But he said people would probably trip out about it because they, you know, basically people can't handle the truth. And when I got to I had gotten to his article and read that, and then there was a flag on that post from Facebook that said this post could contain infactual information. So they were actually moderating his actual written post. He wasn't linked to anything, and it was only like two sentences. And I was pretty surprised. That's the first time I've seen a post have a warning on it that didn't link to an external article. And they were censoring this guy right on Facebook for something that was, what he said was true, but their automated system triggered based upon, I'm pretty sure, based on one part of the sentence of what he had written. So if you are on Facebook, as a member of this audience, and you see, and I made a mistake of clicking OK before I screen snapped it, I should have. But if you are on Facebook and you see, and we understand some of these stuff is moderated because it's a link to some article that's been called into question. But if you see a post that is only handwritten with someone's opinion that's been flagged, and you see that flag in the post, please, please screen capture that for me and send it to me. Now, we know that these flags show up to linked articles outside of Facebook. And I really do want to see just when a post, a user's post has been moderated and put a warning tag on it with no external links to anything else, someone just making a comment on their own timeline. So, love to hear from you if you find that. Hey, if you're watching the show today on Facebook or on YouTube, make sure you say hello. We want to hear from you. T-Mobile, this is really incredible. T-Mobile has amassed unprecedented concentration of spectrum. AT&T and Verizon is complaining. T-Mobile rival says it has too much spectrum and urges the FCC to impose limits. Wow. AT&T and Verizon are worried about T-Mobile's vast spectrum holdings and have asked the FCC to impose limits on the carrier's ability to obtain more spectrum licenses. Verizon kicked things off in August when it petitioned the FCC, and now AT&T has followed up. And meanwhile, T-Mobile was basically saying, wow, this is hypocrisy at its best. T-Mobile opposed Verizon's position in the August filing. Verizon does not even try to demonstrate any harm to itself from the 600 megahertz spectrum leases, a requirement for petitioners who did not participate in an earlier stage of the proceedings. T-Mobile wrote, as a company that elected not to participate in Commission 600 megahertz auction and currently touts its massive millimeter wave spectrums holding a support for 5G superiority, it's simply disingenuous for Verizon now complain that T-Mobile's addition of 600 megahertz spectrum to its portfolio is somehow anti-competitive. T-Mobile said its expanded spectrum holdings will boost competition. So they're all now all of a sudden worried about T-Mobile. This next article I don't fully understand. I'm getting a little bit of this from the Post. But apparently Amazon in-stock alerts are trolling people with $500,000 RTX 3080 graphic card offers. Sellers are relisting the out-of-stock item at incredible prices. NVIDIA's RTX 3080 launch last week was a total mess. One, NVIDIA is still navigating the fallout from following its public apology. And I guess they basically have said that they underestimated the need. And also what happened is people went in with bots and were buying up cards as fast as they could and then putting them available on the Amazon as an Amazon marketplace and reselling them at a much increased price. So it was the old, supply and demand thing. Supply is low. You buy up as many as you can. And then you guarantee that you've ordered 50 and then you try to sell 50 of them for a much, much higher price. And this is an act of trolling and exploitation, behalf of a third-party Amazon seller. Some are abusing the notification system. So, but it was really truly NVIDIA's fault for not having enough cards and underestimating. Everyone is at home. No one's at the office. They're all gaming on their home computers. Of course this card's going to sell out. What are people thinking? Facebook is going to let people claim ownership of images and issue takedown requests. So if you have an image that you've uploaded to Facebook and it gets stolen, you're going to be able to claim and take that image down or say where it can be reposted. There's going to be a rights manager. It's going to give you access to basically the images you have uploaded and making sure that or haven't uploaded and can have some sort of cross-check. You can basically put your images into the rights manager and it'll find the utilization of those images other places. You have to be careful doing this and you could get a copyright hit against you. We buy all our images from Shutterstock and a variety of different places and pay the licensing fee for those images that we use from our marketing company. Now Facebook's getting in the action and going to let you be a rights manager of your own content. This next article, I don't want to go too much into detail on this, but Amazon detailed its low bandwidth sidewalk neighborhood network coming to Echo and Tile devices soon, and it kind of explains how it works. But here's the thing. They're going to let, if you set up like a base station, If you have something set up for a sidewalk network, your neighbors might be able to use a little bit of your bandwidth through this thing. And no, nothing bad could happen here, folks. But I'm going to have to find out more information about this. But they say Amazon expects that users won't mind sharing a small fraction of their bandwidth with their neighbors. Really? Is that going to come with a caution? The company announced that Tile will be the first third-party sidewalk device to use the network when it launches its compatible tracker in the near future. So, we'll keep an eye on this. I don't know. I think people are pretty, don't want anything touching their network at all. Peacock has launched on the Roku across the United States. That took nearly 10 weeks after NBC Universal Streamer made its first debut. So they got their Roku app up and running, and it's available on your Roku device. Microsoft is, talk about carbon neutral. Well, now Microsoft is detailing its plans to become water positive by 2030. The company plans to replenish more water than it uses. Huh. To replenish water sources, the plan includes actions like investing in wetland restoration and removing impervious surfaces like asphalt. Microsoft will focus on highly stressed water basins near its operation. Reducing water consumption is also a focus at the company's new Silicon Valley campus. 100% of the site's non-potable water will come from on-site recycling sources like rainwater collection and waste treatment. That could save as much as 4.3 million gallons of potable water each year. At other campuses, Microsoft will use recycled water for landscaping, plumbing, and tower cooling. So these are some lofty plans. Water positive. I guess that's something new we're going to get used to. The Los Angeles Police Department has used facial recognition software 30,000 times since 2009. I thought that's a pretty low number. And LAPD has never given a clear answer whether it uses facial recognition in its police working. On Monday, the agency told Los Angeles Times it's used the technology 30,000 times. They have a database of more than 9 million mugshots maintained by the L.A. County Sheriff's Department. At one point, more than 500 LAPD personnel had accessed the system. All the department claims that the number is closer to 300 in recent months. A spokesperson for the LAPD said he couldn't be sure how many arrests this has been, the system they call Lacrosse, has helped the police department make. However, he said no individual was arrested by LAPD based on solely on facial recognition results. So they're going to ban facial recognition in L.A. like they are in Portland. The Nikola founder resigns following SEC probe into the electric truck business. Wow. Following a fraud accusation by a short firm and potential probe by the U.S. Securities Commission, Nikola founder Trevor Milton is stepping down as executive chairman. So Nikola is truly in my blood and always will be, and the focus should be on the company and its world-changing mission, not me, he said in a statement. So I made the difficult decision to approach the board and volunteer to step aside as executive chairman. Former vice chairman of General Motors and Nikola's board member, Stephen Grisky, will take his place. The company said GM recently sealed a billion-dollar deal with Nikola to supply with batteries, fuel cells, and other plants. GM will also build the Badger hydrogen-powered pickup truck for Nikola. Oh, a General Motors person is taking over Nikola. Yeah, big multi-billion dollar investment in a former vice chairman at General Motors. Boy, that's keeping it in the family. So he's out. Did something there. He sold some stock. Did something he wasn't supposed to. That's a challenge in running a public company. How many of you love the Polaroid? Well, Polaroid has released a collector's edition camera inspired by The Mandalorian. So, what you need to know, this is a very special camera. It's a collector's edition. It even has themed film featuring the child baby Yoda. How much is it going to cost? $119. So, if you're into doing collector Polaroid cameras, is this the only way Polaroid can make some money? Is a licensing deal with Star Wars? With iOS 14, you can customize your iPhone's home screen with widgets and app icons. How do you do that? Well, the folks at The Verge have some suggestions for you. They've got extension packs as well. I'm just going to keep my iPhone with the same layout. I'm really not going to be changing it too much. But some people like that Windows 98 look, so they're going to have a Windows 98 theme for their front page, which makes it look like garbage in my opinion. But you will be able to customize your iOS 14 homepage to some extent. What say you? What have you done? Anything? I guess I'll find out when I pick up my phone from it updating here. Facebook estimates to help more people register to vote in 2020 than it did in 2016. The company's goal is to help 4 million people register to vote. Like to see how that breaks down on party lines. So Facebook estimates to help 2.5 million register to vote this year across Facebook, Instagram, and Messenger. I keep being asked to register to vote, and I keep closing the damn thing. I keep accident telling it to go away, but it keeps popping up. It's their voting information center is up. It's become annoying. Yes, I'm registered to vote. Stop sending me the ad. They put it in my face at least 10 times a day on my mobile device and on Facebook.com. It's really, really annoying. There should be a setting. Yes, I'm registered to vote. Now, beep off. You know, I really would like to have it be able to turn some of this stuff off, but they just push and push and push and push. Now, not to be left behind, best ways to personalize your Android phone with themes, widgets, and customizations. I'll have a link to that as well in the show notes tonight. All right, I've got, let me look here. Oh, by the way, Hawaii is supposed to start trying to open up around October 15th, but you have to have a COVID test before you can go. This is a state in the United States. The only way you can avoid quarantine by going to Hawaii starting sometime in late October is to have taken a COVID test 72 hours before you depart. Yep, that's going to help tourism a lot. Putting the same type of requirements on that some foreign countries do? Someone get a lawyer. It's just crazy. I'm astonished. So it's nuts. Hey, I got an email from Ron. He said, hey, Todd, I use an Android app called Podkicker. For the last three shows, the audio version is showing up, but not the video. I'm watching number 1475 on YouTube, so I'm not missing the content, but it was more efficient to have them in Podkicker. Where is there a change made on your end? No, it wasn't. And I checked around and the video version made it to other apps. So, Ron, send a note over to Podkicker and ask if you can, if they have a contact line. I don't understand why it's not updating because it's good in Apple Podcasts and everywhere else the show is consumed even. So just let me know if anything pops up. And I even did a validation, make sure the feed was good. I don't see any issues. So I'm not sure really what's going on here, but thanks for giving me a heads up. I'll do some tracking and some more checking as well. And maybe even trying to load that specific app as well. All right, everybody. That's going to bring me to the end of the show. And hope you had a good time today. If you have comments on today's show, it's real simple. All you got to do is email me here, geeknews@gmail.com. If you got something to say, put it up on Twitter as well. And appreciate you being a little patient with me here as I'm trying to balance life, work, and podcast. But it is greatly appreciated that you're still subscribed to the show. And for those of you, the insiders over there, thank you for your ongoing continued donations to the show. Definitely appreciate it. Of course, Kirk, thanks for doing a good job as well and doing the post-editing to the show notes as well. That's all part of the process here. But anyway, that's it for now. And I'll be back with you, my brain willing on Thursday. For another edition of the Geek News Central podcast, we got to make that march to 1500. And again, we're going to be celebrating 16 years of podcasting in early October. So a few episodes away from that happening. But lots going on. International Podcast Day on September 30th. And that'll be a full day of presentations by me and my team. And of course, the podcast awards ceremony. We've got the podcast award winners already tabulated. We know who they are. Now we just got to put together the award ceremony from the acceptance speeches that all the participants have submitted. So a lot going on. I'm still going to be busy, as always. But and then after September 30th, I get a little bit of a reprieve all the way to the 20th of October when I have a presentation for Podcast Movement. So maybe somewhere in the first week of October or something, maybe I'll be able to just take a few days off or something. But anyway, thanks for everyone for being here. Thanks for staying subscribed to the show. Thank you for supporting a sponsor. And again, thank you for your consideration of me becoming an insider at geeknesscentral.com/insider. Everyone take care. We'll see you next time here on the Geekness Central podcast. Take care. Bye-bye.